Hey, is that Son of Hulk over there?
Yeah. I'm on the cover.
Oh, my God. You are on the
cover. I'm on the cover.
She is on the cover.
Dave Palumbo is the artist. And
are you hip to all these artists? They're pretty great.
Yeah, for the most
anyone
part.
Anyone would be. It'd be him.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, some of the dudes on my podcast are even nerdier than me.
I also have my own Magic the Gathering card.
No way. Which one?
Yes. I'm the Deft Duelist.
Cool.
Oh, the arm. Hi, it's Jake Johansson, and you're listening to the Angry Atheist.
Oh, we're going live now.
Sorry.
We're going live.
What?
It's our...
We're right, but I did the show, so I know what it is. It's angry. They're angry.
That's Jake right there, ladies and gentlemen, one of the funniest guys on the planet. Hello, and welcome to Ardent Atheist, where reason reigns supreme, not frogs and fish. Today's episode brought to you by billions of years of evolution. Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the Intertubes, and from our other hit podcast, Skeptically Yours. You can find links to our guests' websites. Join our Twitter and Facebook feed, subscribe to our premium 90-minute full-length episodes, and our email at ardentatheist.com.
If you'd like to take part in a live chat moderated by the author of the well-known blog Hit and Miss, Joe Swam, go to youtube.com/ardentatheistpodcast and chat us up right now.
And please go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast for free, and write a review. Help us get in the top 10, or go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe to our premium content for a measly $10 per year.
Do it now before the world ends.
The world already ended, actually.
No, it didn't.
Yeah. This is day 4. Duh.
You can't count the days you're not here if you're not here.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Really? That's the dumbest thing?
Well, that and what you're going to say next.
Emery, you're a genius.
No reason to be nasty.
Rule number 1, guests may plug anything they want because we're not hypocrites. Go subscribe.
And rule number 2, if your listener's ever been offended by anything, get a sledgehammer and destroy your computer now. This show has no restrictions on language or content and certainly has nothing for you, you doomsday retard. We're coming to you live from E&H Studios in Studio City, California. In the studio tonight, we have Ron Swallow, Dana Eagle, and Steve Gelder. You know these folks
from
Showbiz. Thanks for being here, folks.
Thanks.
Happy
for having
to be
us.
Here. I brought donuts.
I've been wanting to get you here. Where are the donuts?
I put them, they're in there.
We had a guy write that said, sometimes we have snacks on the table. Uh-huh. And we had a guy write in to me and say, please stop feeding the guests. It's killing me. He has a condition where he hears chewing of any sort. And I know, every time I've mentioned it on the show, someone does what Dana's doing.
I think you did that earlier.
I'm very original.
Oh, I also bought a shirt today that I wore just for you guys.
Yes. Nice.
I'll take a picture.
It's Jesus riding a T-Rex like a boss, it says. Sweet. Nicely done.
Sweet.
I love that most of my friends will make fun of Jesus. Even the believers are pretty cool in my world. You know what I mean?
Oh, well, everybody's got a sense of humor. Smart people have a sense of humor.
Hey, listen, Paul Provenza posted some really wonderful joke about Jesus putting together an IKEA thing, and it was a cross with nails. That's what he was doing.
But he needed a monkey wrench.
And Dana just handed us this beautiful sticker.
Yeah, take a picture of the sticker. I'll hold it. This is the sticker that Dana brought. Jesus, not much of a clapper. www.danaeagle.com.
Get that a little bit closer, babe. I can't
okay,
see
sorry.
It.
So...
He's been to a lot of my shows, and he laughs, but he never claps.
You talk in your show about... You make fun of God in your show.
I do. I make fun of Jesus. I make fun of Jews. I do that. And it's taken me a really long time to get used to it, to be comfortable with other people being angry at
there
me.
You go.
Right, right.
You know, because I was raised Jewish, so I'm, you know.
So your family's inclined. Not real happy about that?
Well, I want people to, you know, automatically like me and be impressed with me and, you know, all of that. But it's taken me a while to go, I don't really give a shit.
Nicely done.
This makes you unhappy.
Listen, that's the religious way. The religious way is to make us afraid to ridicule their bullshit. That's the nature of religion. The only religion that seems to not do that is the Buddhist faith, which I call it a fucking religion. People call it
it's a
philosophy,
religion.
But
no,
it is
no,
a goddamn
no. That
religion.
One's a religion.
They're all
they have
a religion.
The whole thing with the how the little thing becomes a Buddha is all a fairy tale, and they smell the poo, and yeah, it's
all
just
religion.
A
religion.
And they've got statues right outside every Chinese restaurant that you can rub the belly of, so it must be real.
If there's any belief where there is some kind of higher power, whether or not it does anything or not, that's basically a religious belief. I mean, it can't be anything else but a religious belief, right?
Or a comic book.
Yeah.
Yeah, I Well,
not much difference.
You
not
find,
very similar.
Yeah, you find some of them trying to get themselves out of the religious tent, and the Buddhists are one of them. But okay. The Buddhists like to say it's not a religion, it's a philosophy. And
it can be used as an add-on to your religion.
Yeah, they that's like exactly that right. That's one of the reasons that they get to be in a slightly different tent, I suppose.
Anybody that talks about shit that we don't know, because Buddhists talk about what happens after you die. And no, about being reincarnated, and nobody knows that.
Yeah. And karma, which, let's be honest, is a load of shit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It can't be real, because I've been nice my entire life. I still am, like, poor as shit.
And, well, you're missing the whole point of the Buddhist philosophy if that's where you're hanging your hat.
Well, no, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, like, I'm not trying to get anything out of it. What I'm saying is I've been nice my whole life,
yeah.
And I'm still doing shitty, and I can bet you a lot of money that Donald Trump has not been nice to almost anybody ever. He's doing just fine.
We'll see. It happens. Yeah. The good karma happens in the afterlife when you're a turtle.
That's
the problem. The problem is karma, as viewed through Western eyes, is the idea you're talking about.
Yeah,
it's
where good stuff
be nice to
life.
Billy, and then Jenny will be nice to you. And
how about why don't
I like
you just
how
be
I paint
nice.
A picture where you're getting sucked by Jenny. But
be good for the sake of being
well, that's,
good.
Well, that's yeah. like cause and effect.
Right. Well, that's how we think
and that does
of karma.
Work.
And it does
my
work.
Being
that's
nice
exactly
to people
right.
has made my life better. That's true.
Being nice to someone makes you feel good.
Yeah.
So in that sense, it works beautifully. But the idea of karma, you know, if I give someone $1,000, that doesn't mean I'm going to end up with $1,000 in a couple of months or a couple of years
well,
because I gave someone $1,000 or more. It's bullshit. And the Buddhist thing is bullshit.
And it's hard having to live here in LA with it because you have all these people who left religion and then joined like Agape or one of the other ones. And then they talk about, oh, it's karma. And it's like that's right. religion. It's yeah. the other side of the same coin. You're doing the same exact thing.
Yeah, Agape is actually one of the church.
That's the one
that's
you were
the
talking
one I grew
about.
Up in.
We want to talk a bit about on this show. Yeah. We want to talk a bit about your how you grew up. And I'm talking to Ron Swallow. Ron grew up in as close to the secret of a religion as you can.
Yeah.
You know about the book, The Secret?
Science of Mind.
Yes. It's called what?
Well, it's called Science of Mind or Religious Science. Ernest Holmes wrote a book. And it's funny because Ernest Holmes, the reason they call it science is because Ernest Holmes came up with a bunch of theories on how to make your life better. And then he sent them to a lot of his friends and said, hey, try these things out and tell me which works. And the stuff that worked, he wrote down in a book.
That was his version of science?
Sort of, yes.
Which isn't awful. I mean, really.
It's not
completely
terrible.
Clinical trials, in a sense.
And, you know, he came with his own theories, his own ideas, and he really did mean it as just like, hey, here's something to help improve your life.
He wasn't even trying to create a religion.
And it was based in God. It was based in a higher power because he didn't like to call it God. A lot of these people don't like to call it God, but it's still basically the same things. Whether they don't have like a belief about Adam and Eve or anything crazy like that. Their belief is not that this is any less crazy, by the way.
Right.
But their belief is that there's some kind of almost like an energy field or higher force that is there that we're all connected to.
It's a secret.
Yeah. And that connection is the thing that shapes your life because of that connection. All you have to do is think, believe, and then take action, which, by the way, is left out of The Secret. They leave the take action part out
right,
of The Secret.
Right, right.
And then after taking action, you can create whatever you want in your life. That's the basic idea of it.
Wow.
And, you know, think positive, blah, 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 all that stuff. But it really believes that everything in your life is caused by your thoughts and beliefs.
So everything in my life is caused by my thoughts and beliefs.
Yep. All the negative stuff, all the good stuff.
Okay, so that leaves women who are raped.
Yes, that
to
was
be responsible for their own rape.
That was the biggest part I had. Not only rape, but mugging, and there were arguments, literal arguments.
I attracted my uncle to me.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like those type of things where you have to go. Okay, sometimes just something horrible happens to a person,
like a plane crash. You attracted that somehow.
Yeah, exactly. And then people will use, well, if your belief was so high,
they attracted
then
the
you
blackness to themselves.
Wouldn't have been in that. Yeah.
Sorry.
That's my exact. And that was my biggest problem with the entire religion. Once I hit a certain age, when I was younger, it just helped me get through hating myself. To a point. Now I'm back to hating myself.
I was going to say, it seems like you've gone full circle.
But that seems like a lot about the self-help movement, like Louise Hay, You Can Heal Your Life.
Yeah.
Not that I've read it. or that I own the tapes or anything.
You read the
like
title,
that.
That's enough.
Took the course.
So, but that's what her whole thing is, like if you have cancer you've caused cancer. And the truth is, the book has a lot, and I'm sure, like religion, it has a lot of great tools in it, but that's all they are, is just tools. They're
not. If being an asshole or a cunt to everybody caused cancer, there's a lot of people right now that I think should be riddled, and they aren't.
Yeah.
It's just bullshit.
Well, and it's also, it's not just that, it's more like forgetting to believe that you're healthy. I know that sounds weird.
What?
Oh, it's like you're not thinking consciously about staying healthy.
About staying healthy, and sure. And so
you're
then you become
your health
unhealthy.
For granted, and therefore, I understand that concept.
And the weirdest part about this is there, it's real and not real. It's real in that if you're conscious about your health, you'll do things like exercise, eat decent food, you know, maybe take vitamins, whatever it is that you do to keep yourself healthy. And you'll pay attention. When something feels bad, you'll go, oh, something feels bad, because you're aware of, oh, I want to be paying attention to my health, and then you'll go get it taken care of.
Cancer doesn't care if you're healthy or not.
Exactly. And that's sometimes, that's the biggest problem. But the belief in that is that you won't get that. That's what they believe, if you believe the right way, which, of course, again.
Even if you grew up in New Jersey.
Even if you grew up in New Jersey.
Hello.
And she got cancer.
In New Jersey.
Up in New Jersey.
Oh, really? I'm in New Jersey, too.
Yeah.
My dad has, like, these little carcinomas right now, and they show that more people in New Jersey have them than any place else.
Holy crap. Where in New Jersey?
Central Jersey.
I was in South Jersey.
Oh, I was born,
in
Fort Dix.
People in Jersey don't think about their health enough at all.
Well, we don't think about not drinking the water. The water is probably what is giving everyone the cancer.
No. It's the not thinking about things.
Yeah,
not
exactly.
Thinking about the water.
The
water's healthy.
Which is, it's weird because, and I told him this too, it's like there was my parents who were shitbags and treated me like dirt, even though they're good people now. Well, maybe my dad, I don't know. My stepmom's great.
His genetic parents.
But my other parents were from the church, and they're great people, and they're literally the people who made me who I am today. I wouldn't have done any of the things I do today if it hadn't been for them. But at the same time, the religion is, like, totally wacky.
I like that sentence because I imagine going back to this show in, like, 7 or 8 months or maybe 2 or 3 years when they find out you're a serial killer. And then we can use that sentence to blame
them for yeah.
Yes.
Now, does Agape come with a wish board?
Well, they'll probably teach you how to do
vision
that.
Board.
Vision board.
Right.
Sorry, I got the language wrong.
That is the wrong language.
It won't work.
A wish is something that a genie gives you. A vision is something you create.
Ooh, this sounds agape based.
How's the dream catcher work into this?
But the unfortunate, because
I'm more of a dream pitcher myself.
Yeah. But again,
dream top. Is that what you're?
I'm a dream top. I'm a power dreamer.
That's funny.
The unfortunate thing, though, is that they have a lot of things in this. I mean,
it makes sense.
That really makes sense, because the truth is that we all go. There's so many things that are so aggravating during the day. There's so many people to be annoyed with. And the truth is you have to completely stop yourself so many times during the day and go, how important is that? How much do I need to get hung up on that, or hung up on that person, and how much. I'm not trying to give. This isn't necessarily my head. This might be other people's heads. Yeah. And so
there's always a disclaimer when
asterisk.
I've sat with her. We've been writing jokes for hours at Panera Bread.
Yes.
And every time a joke is mulled over or worked on, there's some sort of apology or explanation.
So, well,
I'm not for killing babies, but in this joke,
in my dating profile, I write that. I read self help books, but I know enough to be ashamed of it.
See what I mean? That's Dana Eagle right there.
So that's pretty much how that goes. Well, so I get the religion and wanting to be pulled there. Well, it's just the part that messes it up is when they claim to know it all. When they're not saying, hey, these are some tools and some of them will work for you and some of them won't. It's when they say, we know it all, and that's why you want to put some money in our basket.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's interesting that you mentioned that when you hit a certain age, you kind of came to the realizations, or you had the questions that came up. And religion, like, falls into a couple different age categories, where when you're really young, you'll be brainwashed, buy into it, and then you start questioning it or don't. Yeah. And then when you get really old and start worrying about being dead, you drift towards it because it's like, oh, shit, I don't want to die.
Yeah.
I want something afterwards.
Yeah.
So, like, age is religion's, like, helper and herder.
And another thing that happened was there's a lot of politics involved, because after I got out of the youth group, I thought, well, all these people who helped me out when I was a kid, I should help some of these kids out. So I started getting involved with the youth group. And then when I was
and that's
like...
that's when the serial killing began.
Exactly. How'd you know?
Camping trips.
Yeah. Because guess what all camping trips are? It's just opportunities for me to kill people. And then they were like, then there were people who were like, I'd be like, hey, let's do this very simple thing. And they were like, well, are you trying to take power away from me? I'm like,
wow.
What? This has nothing to do with you. I don't really care about that. I'm just trying to get something accomplished for the kids. And they're like, no. I think you're trying to like go over the top of my head for this and that. And not the two people who were like my semi-parents or whatever, but like the rest of the church. And so, and then there was that. And then there was the what happens to people who get diseases or get raped or get mugged or have terrible things happen to them for no apparent reason discussion.
It's because that they caused it.
Yeah,
it's
well, that's what I'm
no
saying.
It's
crazy. It's
because they caused
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that you sucks. Know.
How big is this church? How many people are ascribed to this?
Well, the Agape is gigantic. The church I went to
parents.
Was like, you know, a couple hundred people.
Yeah.
But Agape's got what, 15,000, 20,000?
That's okay. That's not an issue.
They believe that that God created everything, including doctors.
Okay.
And that means that you should go to doctors.
Right.
Because you don't be an idiot.
A lot of people were pulled into Agape because they always had LGBT acceptance.
Yeah.
So a lot of people that were raised religious and still want the God thing, but also want to be loved and want brunch and stuff like that.
Yes. Brunch is important. It is. With any religion.
Do they have the communion wine as well? Do we get that?
No wine.
Damn it.
No,
I've always wanted to go
bagels.
Into that church down at Hollywood. No, yeah, Hollywood, Highland?
Yeah, North. Oh, Hollywood.
Just
Oasis.
Methodist one.
It's really Franklin. Is that a Methodist?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And they've got the big, huge HIV ribbon on their building. Almost like,
oh, right.
Almost like they invented AIDS. It's
They're just perfecting it. They're just perfecting it.
Oh, are we about to go into conspiracy theories? Is that what we're going to do?
That's so funny. That's what I always think. I'm always like, oh, it's the AIDS church.
Yeah, right.
Because I have to drive by there all the time.
And I don't know. I don't know. It's funny. I see that, and I'm like, oh, that's nice. It's nice. It seems like they're pro-gay. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I don't know if that's true. And we went down there. We were going to knock on the door and walk in and ask about the ribbon and ask about their stance on LGBT. And the doors were locked. So they don't
care about you, Emery.
It did say there was a big sign that says
this is not gay.
It was Christmas Day, wasn't it? Was it Christmas
Day? No, it wasn't Christmas Day. We went there. But it says
It's a Christmas is not your birthday.
Christmas is not your birthday.
And I'm standing there going, it is too, Dick.
It was your
birthday. Oh, yes. And by the way, while we're at it. Uh-huh. BJ Kramer, friend of the show, friend of Heather and myself, friend of anybody who loves bacon, and no longer friend of the Jews. BJ Kramer, it's his birthday today. I think he said he
happy birthday, BJ Kramer.
Happy birthday. We should sing.
Happy birthday.
I don't think we should.
So yesterday
sing.
Was your birthday?
Christmas Day is mine, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which is kind of ironic.
I don't know. It's not ironic.
No. It borders on it.
Well, I mean, this is more of that confirmation bias thinking. I mean, when I was a hardline Christian,
you were a hardline Christian.
Oh, geez, I was preaching the word. Are you kidding me? Yeah, you want to
know
about Leviticus? Let's get going.
Nice.
But I held Bible studies. I spent 2 years of my younger teens, I guess, 17, 16, 17, 18-ish, somewhere in that neighborhood. Then I discovered chicks. if I was I wish I was an evangelist today, I'd get laid more. But my birthday was Christmas Day, and people were like, of course it's your birthday. You love God so much. Now I'm an atheist. Of course it's your birthday. You hate God so much. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Nice. Confirmation.
Also, you can maybe confirm this since you were studying it. What I remember is that that's not actually what Jesus' birthday is.
Well, scholars, first of all, none of them have...
you want to make that argument.
None of them have an accurate answer. There are a lot of ways to go at it. A lot of... it could be anywhere from June to November, probably. That's the most likely span of when Jesus was probably born. Assuming Jesus was born. Yeah. I mean, now you got to go back another layer and go, Jesus may well not even be a single person. It might
be a group of people, right?
A conflagration.
A
bunch of other people all combined into one. These stories might not be talking about a single person claiming to have a connection to God. So there's a lot about the Bible that you can't nail down.
Because it's been written like 87 times.
Over and over.
Dozens and dozens and dozens of changes. And changes upon changes, of course. Now we know what you end up with there is the exact same thing you end up when an animal does that, you end up with a lot of different species.
Yeah.
And that's why we have a lot of different species in God belief.
Yeah. Right.
That's exactly why we have so
many.
It's
like the game Telephone.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I
have a joke about
really
that I can't do anymore because David Cross did it.
Curse him.
Well, yeah. Just do it slightly different.
Well, I already do it differently. Okay. But yeah. It was still like enough alike.
Well, now
that
I
was
want
like,
to know the joke.
I was just
what
basically.
What joke did David Cross steal from you?
Yes, David Cross stole a joke from me.
You know, if you were appreciating your jokes, yeah. He wouldn't steal them from you.
I know, right? He's never
yeah.
seen
me. Your material.
He's never
granted.
Seen me. I've never seen him. Mm-hmm. Basically, I was saying, well, you know, the Bible is. If you know a little bit about the Bible, you know it's been written a bunch of times. Just to name a few, it started off in, you know, Aramaic. From Aramaic went to Hebrew, from Hebrew to Greek, from Greek to Latin, from Latin to Old English, from Old English to Modern English. It's a lot of translation. Kind of makes you wonder if the Bible could just be like a really bad game of telephone.
Right.
You know, where you lined up six or seven of your friends, and by the end of the first sentence that your friend told, whispered to everybody else, at the end it was a completely different sentence. Like, what if they got the whole message of the Bible wrong? What if the actual message was, hey, don't hang out with hookers and do magic tricks or we'll nail your ass to a cross?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's nice.
I like that joke, but it only, like, you know, it's close enough to David Cross's that I had to change it a little bit. His is more a long, ranting, you know, David Cross style thing, yeah. Basically yeah. saying it's like telephone.
Right.
But a little bit different.
Yeah.
My that punchline I actually use in a different joke now.
I see.
About comic books, strangely
enough. Well, neither of you are the originator of that concept.
No, of course
for
not.
For the record.
Yeah.
So, in my opinion, you shouldn't stop doing your joke because Cross has a similar joke.
Well, okay.
I think you should compliment yourself and go, I think like David Cross or vice versa.
Well, I also had to get rid of a Bill Hicks joke. It was the same thing. It was like...
No, you don't. He's
fuck
dead.
Fuck him, he's dead.
I had a joke similar to Mitch Hedberg, and then he died. I was like, all right, I get the joke.
He's coming back.
Great. I win.
That's funny. First guy to the grave loses.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we'll be right back after this. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Ardent Atheist on ardentatheist.com and available at the iTunes Store.
Did you know that Emery made a comedy CD in the early 90s? Well, he did! All the physical CDs are gone, but Emery's stand-up lives forever on iTunes and CD Baby.
Ones and zeros.
Just go to cdbaby.com/EmeryEmery to download Purveyor of Filth, Emery's stand-up comedy CD from the early 90s. Don't worry, he didn't make too many references to Ronald Reagan or the Stray Cats. You won't be confused. Go check it out now at cdbaby.com/EmeryEmery or on iTunes and hear why Emery got into film and television production.
Hey, shut up. And now back to Ardent Atheist. Nonsense you can believe in. We're talking with Ron Swallow, Dana Eagle, and Steve Gelder. Thanks for being here, Steve.
Yeah, thanks.
Your show's going well. You're still over there at New Dissident for now. Or
yes, independent thinking. Yeah, doing
they're
that every day
around.
Now.
Around? I didn't even know. I thought it was gone.
There's been a move, and they're changing some things and all this other stuff. So I'm just doing the show and then
sending
using
it
New
over
Dissident.
To them.
Yeah,
I got you. So you're in your own
vessel.
Place.
Yes.
Cool.
How come you never asked me to do your show?
I'm just getting to know you, Dana.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going
to
happen.
Same to you, Ron.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. I met you a year ago, at least.
I know.
Maybe
and then
more.
We hung out. We had one of those relationships where we hung out a bunch, yep. And then we just went our own separate ways. Yeah, but I always felt good. I always felt like...
She found out I'm a guy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like but the way we were.
I always feel like, you know, I never have bad feelings when that happens. I'm like, everyone's got their own stuff going on. We're all trying to, you know, make our shit happen.
Well, you have a new CD out?
I do have a CD out.
Yeah?
Yeah, ooh. It's called Because They Asked Me Not to Sing. A night of stand up because they asked me not to sing.
Nice. Is that true?
It's been said several times.
Twice on this show, at least.
That's actually how I got into stand up too.
Yeah.
I was in musical theater, and I got cast on a tour of the only. I got cast on the tour of a musical in the only non singing role, and for 4 months I was like, no, but I can sing. And after 4 months, they were like, you know what, you can't sing, and you're a little annoying to be on a bus with. Go try stand up comedy.
What a drag. Well,
that's hilarious.
So wow. I wasn't. Yeah. But I came in here with a topic.
Really?
I didn't know if I was allowed to.
Yeah,
you never
sure.
know. Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Like, what do you want to talk about,
I
Dana?
I have trouble getting along with people in the real world because of, not ultra-religious people, but people who are moderately religious, but they don't really believe it, so they think it's okay. And then it's like, do I start with them or do I just leave it alone? Like,
yeah.
Do I let them know what idiots, you know, that I think they're being... So I just was wondering how everybody else... And my mom got bat mitzvahed. last year.
What?
And that was really...
What? Oh, did she...
How old is she?
She's in her 60s, but the thing is when she was growing up, girls didn't get bat mitzvah, just boys did.
Yeah.
And so she and a few friends, you know, in her little boca, little development, they went to Hebrew school, and, you know, one of her friends is a cantor, so they signed up, and, like, three of them got bat mitzvah together. And it was really... I was like, do I go? Do I not? You know, because I'm anti-religion.
Yeah.
So... And you know, people always assume that you're anti-fundamentalist, but I'm not an anti. I'm anti-
well, the worst part about being anti-religious is there's a weird stamp put on people who don't believe in God or have faith in something like that.
Right.
And that stamp says that we're immoral and that we're just basically awful.
Baby eaters.
And it still functions. I mean,
thought that was Republicans.
Babies are tasty.
That says
it's
eater.
Actually acceptable in polite society to think that way about non-believers. You know what I mean?
What do you want to do?
Yeah, what do you want
to
do?
I went to the decision about the bat mitzvah was people before principle. And my mom and I are very close and I love her. So I decided to go there. But I had a conversation last week with a bunch of people and somebody said to me afterwards, they're like, you sound kind of angry. And I was like, no, I'm not angry. I sound angry because the assumption is how could I not think that I'm the crazy one? But really, you guys are all crazy. That's where the anger comes from.
Yeah.
Well,
it's any time it's any time when you're pretty positive, you're right. And you can take any argument that you think about.
Yeah.
I had to have a conversation with someone about how racism is wrong. And I had to explain to them.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
How much information can you give us on this one?
Well, I can tell you the whole story.
So I'm talking to Bill Cosby.
Oh,
right?
I can one-up you on this.
But it's the same type of thing. It's like where you, okay, what happened was a girl was getting, after I host karaoke from time to time, and a girl was doing, who had walked there from, and it was a bad neighborhood. It's in Van Nuys. It's not a good neighborhood.
Yeah.
And so the girl was getting walked back. I had the security guard walk her back. And so when the security guard came back, the bartender is like, hey, where'd you go? And he's like, oh, I walked that girl home. And I was like, yeah, I asked him to because I didn't want a girl to walk alone. This neighborhood's kind of bad neighborhood. She goes, yeah, a white girl shouldn't walk alone in this neighborhood. I'm not good at being quiet when yeah. shit like that happens. So I was like, I'm sorry, what'd you say? And now there's her chance to...
wow.
There's her chance
I love that he talks like a black girl when this happens.
And at that point, I think you would know that I didn't sound happy about what you had just said, mm-hmm. and you would maybe change your tune and just hide that you're a racist.
He
and she goes...
Down. She doubled down.
She just goes, yeah, a white girl shouldn't walk alone in this neighborhood. And I was like, why are you saying white? And she just busts out the big guns and says, because I don't trust those N-words and Mexicans.
Wow.
And she said Mexicans like it was already a bad word.
She said nigger?
Yeah. She did. Yeah. You can say that if you want.
My
I don't
God.
Say
it. I know.
It really makes me angry. And I told her, it was weird. I said, look, don't ever say that word in front of me again, first off. Secondly, we can't be friends now. People who say those words to me cannot be my friends because that means they're racist. And you said it in a way that was anger. We weren't talking about the word. We weren't talking about words or feelings or anything like
we
that.
We weren't joking.
We weren't joking. You said that in an angry way. So clearly you're racist and we can't be friends. And now I need to explain to you why racism is stupid.
Yeah.
I was like, you judge people individually on what they do as people. You don't know any of these people out here. You don't know if the Mexicans mean or nice. You don't know if the white guys mean or nice. And right. they're all dependent upon them as human beings. And she goes, yeah, but black people jump me. I was like, well,
so?
I'll
so
jump you too.
Mexicans jump me. I grew up in New Mexico. Those were bad, specific people. The rest of the Mexicans in New Mexico, none of them jumped me. It was just the three.
This doesn't surprise me. This is exactly how gooks usually talk.
The point is there's always a reason
and
to
you
hate
start,
people, and
you start
should put an extra effort to find the specific reason to hate that person instead of just going with
it
the easiest reason.
This happened to me when I was younger. I was raised to be racist. I was a kid I was a kid in the Midwest. I had a ex-cop dad.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and a stepdad, and who's just disappeared after the divorce, which is thank God for that, if there were one. And everything out of his mouth was racist. I mean, overtly, angrily, insidiously racist.
I stopped some fucking spick today.
Yeah, it was like that.
I grew up in the Midwest too. Yeah.
Yeah. And he always told the same shitty stories. You know, he was an ex-cop, so he would tell these stories about shooting these nigger kids with birdshot in the ass for dropping stuff off of bridges and stuff. It's like, what the fuck?
Why would you do that?
But as a kid, yeah. I was normalized to it. You know,
right?
So you're
and she is a Midwest girl. I will
really, yeah,
yeah. She's from Illinois.
So you're I'm so relieved she's not really a gook, but
hey, Illinois's got gooks.
That's the other bartender, and she's nice.
So I was normalized to it, and it took me a lot of years to kind of understand that I had been taught this awful thing, and I had to reset my brain so that I didn't make those awful errors. And I love that you said that stuff to her, and I think all of us should do that with each other. I like the internet because racism is pretty obvious on the internet when you talk to people, because people have a false sense of anonymity even though they don't. They have this weird sense of
I can say whatever I want.
And they can say whatever the fuck they want. And then
and they do.
God fucking Christ, do they. And so the internet's great for that. And I think that we are going to whittle away at that kind of ignorance and hatred much more effectively when people are so openly ignorant that way. And all of us.
It's more dangerous when they hide it. Yeah, I guess you're right.
That's exactly right. Hidden racism, hidden hatred is the most dangerous.
So then your advice to Dana would then be not to go to the bat mitzvah and get in their faces and let them know.
Oh, I wouldn't go get in their faces.
Well, no. I mean, let them know what she thinks about it.
Well, I think it comes down to if they're like in her face, like telling her about God, I think you're allowed to say, look, I don't believe in this and this is why. I think that's the difference is when somebody puts it out there, you don't have much of a choice but to be honest in something you actually believe in. Like personally, I actually let people just do their own God stuff because I've learned that if someone really believes in God, now if they're asking me a question like, what do you think about this? I'm on the fence. Then it's a conversation you can be having because that's a conversation that might be productive. But for people who are true believers, it's very rare that you are going to ever change their mind.
Right.
Let me ask you a couple questions, Dana.
Okay.
How many people were at this bat mitzvah?
Well, it was significantly big because there were so many women getting bat mitzvahed. So it was filled. And then I had relatives that came and it wasn't an issue.
Did your mom and your mom's friends know you're a non-believer?
We didn't discuss it explicitly. I mean, this has come out more over the past few years, so I'm not, I mean, as of a few years ago, I was still lying to my parents, like saying that I was at Beth Sherman's for Yom Kippur, and then Beth Sherman said she was at McCall's, told her parents she was at McCall's for, we had a whole ring going for the holidays. So, yeah, I mean, for me, it's just more the distance I feel from people that I think I'm going to be friends with. And then they're like, yeah, well, I have church on Sunday. And I'm just like, yeah, we can't, you know, or even if they defend it in some sort of way of like, well, my parents still go, but they've always gone. And I'm just like, that doesn't make it okay. It just doesn't.
Do you find yourself without regular old friends that are atheists? Do you find yourself kind of like lonely for people who think like you?
Yeah, it's just that, I'm angry. Like I'm angry when I'm with a group of people who I love and I'm enjoying time with, and then the subject comes up and it's just normal and okay to go to a religious organization, or we're getting married in this way, or we're doing this, and I'm just like, and especially because most of my friends are gay. I guess I should have said that I'm gay, and most of my friends are gay.
What?
And so then I. And by the way, the story I wanted to one up you on was my dad. My dad actually used his racism to attack my cousin's homophobia against me.
What?
Yes.
How does that
isn't
work?
That the best? I was
Whoa.
Like, my head almost fell off my neck. He was talking about how ridiculous, because they wrote me, it was very homophobic, they wrote me like hate mail and stuff, threatening me and stuff. And these were cousins that I was very close with, that I grew up with. And he was just saying, you know, they're ignorant and they're uneducated. I mean, you know, when you say though that, you know, Latinos commit more crime, I mean, there's statistics to back that up. But with this, and
what?
I'm just like, I can't have this conversation. I was like,
and that whole conversation.
I don't want to be defended by you.
And it all happened on Twitter.
Stay off my side, Dad.
And you should know that my grandparents have been on Geraldo and Sally Jessica Friel because my grandma was gay until she found Jesus.
Saved. You mentioned this on Skeptically Yours, and we didn't get into
it. That's awesome.
For the record, today the show is Ron Swallow, ladies and gentlemen.
You've lived a very happy life.
It's pretty wacky.
So your grandmother, and you hinted that she's not really gay either.
Well, this is what happened.
I want to hear the details.
From what I understand, well, first off, how I found out was I was at school and some dude, by the way, I'm Ronald Edward Swallow III, and I had a friend come up to me and be like, dude, was your mom gay? And I was like, I don't know. She abandoned me when I was 4. Kicked me in the nuts. And the guy's like, oh, I'm sorry. But somebody named Ron Swallow was married to Barbara Swallow, and she was in the newspaper, and she was a lesbian until she found Jesus. And then she's not a lesbian anymore. And apparently, and I go, no, that's my grandma. And I just thought she was good at basketball. Wow. Which she was, by the way. My grandma could nail 3-pointers all day long. She beat me in horse like many times when I was like 14 or 15.
Wow.
And then she, so it turns out that they tour around the country doing Free Indeed Ministries, which is a group of people who teach gay people not to be gay.
Free
and I have
indeed,
jokes about it.
Indeed.
Yeah.
That's even, that's free indeed.
That's even scariest. Like they probably did take it that. And it's in mind it's one of those things where like I can't go like they're my family, but I can't go to be around them because what they do is literally the antithesis of everything I believe in.
Right.
So it's like, and it's not even the God part. The God part I could let go. It's this crazy change people part. Even though I guess most people's God part is would want to change them or whatever, or condemn them or whatever. But the other thing is like, apparently my dad didn't want to be involved with it. He changed his name so people wouldn't be connected to him. And I'm not sure. Oh, and the other thing is the reason I said she's not gay is because she was cheating, still having sex with my grandpa. And having sex with women, so that technically just makes her a slut.
A slut.
Right. That's all it is.
Yeah. And I don't care at all. Yeah. I never cared. And I accidentally actually told my cousins about it one time.
Oh.
Because I didn't think it was a big deal. Because I thought like, well, this is not a big
deal.
How
old were you?
It's just
I was
thing.
Like 17 or 18.
Okay.
Oh, no, I was 19 because I was out skating in a competition. And they were like, I just made some joke about grandma.
Well, that seems
like a vagina, and everybody's like, "What?" And I was like, "Oh shit!"
Yeah.
Nah.
Did they drive that one on you for years?
Oh yeah. Well, I don't talk to most of them. So.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You.
Because they're crazy.
You were definitely playing your part in that one.
Yeah.
Nicely done. You should have known better.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're listening to Ardent Atheist on ardentatheist.com and available on the iTunes Store.
Good news, everyone.
We have a premium service. We already give you a free hour of entertainment, but the premium service will allow you to subscribe to the full 90-minute show. It's only $10 per year. We also have another option, and that's the pay more if you want button. Some people have actually sent us more money than the $10 a year that we're asking, and when that happens, we make sure to give away some of our subscriptions for free to the needy. If you can't afford the $10 a year, drop us an email, let us know. Some people prepay more, and we actually give them away to some people. So, very nice of folks to do that. If you want to give us more money, we'll give away those subscriptions to the needy, so be generous. Support the show if you can afford it. And please go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe. And now back to Ardent Atheist nonsense you can believe in. We're talking with Ron Swallow, Dana Eagle, and Steve Gelder. So I am stunned by this. What year did your grandmother turn straight?
I want to say it's got to be the 60s sometime.
So your grandmother.
Because my dad was born. He was actually cheating with my dad's nana.
Is she still alive?
The lady who she, my grandma?
Your grandma.
The yeah. I don't know about the lady she was cheating with, but my grandma was, definitely.
I don't think
that was that bitch.
It's like if it wasn't for the Christian thing, you'd have the coolest grandparents ever.
In a way, yeah.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah.
So but they talked about it for years because to be on Geraldo and stuff, that's like the
80s. They tour around the country still.
Okay.
And they
preaching
give
the word
Christian
so
counseling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To people who don't want to be gay. And the weird part is
grandma's kind
I
of
actually,
a Rosa Parks of turning straight.
Yeah. Kind of is.
What
really
seat
is.
On the bus did she take?
I mean, and you know, she was never a lesbian though. Like, and there's a big difference. Anybody who's actually a lesbian will tell you there's a huge difference between being a lesbian and being bisexual.
Right. And I'm bisexual. I know the difference.
Okay, cool.
I'm definitely not a lesbian.
Yeah. I'm a lesbian.
Yeah?
That's all I know.
That's all you know?
Mm-hmm.
There you go. It's good.
Yeah, it's really sad what happens in religious circles when it comes to sexuality. It's so fucking awful, the oppression. We haven't done it yet. One day we are going to do a sex show because I think the harm that comes...
He said combs.
Thank you, Beavis.
I know, right? So I think the harm that comes from that kind of bullshit is profound. And
it
I think
insane.
It's long-lasting, and it's, yeah, insane. It runs generation after generation.
And the suicide rate for, like, the pray the gay away groups is horrible.
It's insane. Yeah. It's like,
yeah.
Aren't they passing a law now in California?
It's already passed.
Oh, it's passed. Yeah, they just passed a law
in California. You can't do it anymore.
Yeah. Oh, they made it illegal to practice this bad science.
Yes.
That's
awesome.
I am very pro that. I kind of walk that libertarian line with stay the fuck out of my bedroom and shit like that. I get that. But man, I'm all about restricting just... clearly, obviously, awful practices.
Well, and this awful practice results in a lot of people's deaths every single year.
And children too.
Yeah, enough of a number that if people aren't taking note of it, they're not paying attention.
Yeah, but if God didn't want them dead, he wouldn't have made them fags. Yeah.
Maybe they didn't think properly.
Yes,
that's exactly right.
They didn't think themselves alive.
Yeah. They needed to think themselves straight. Although that wouldn't work for that religion.
It wouldn't?
Because they are totally cool with you being gay. They don't give a shit.
Really?
Their personal view is you be who you are, and whoever you are is who you are.
See, but then I don't know how they square that with what's actually written. That's the whole problem, is we stand, we work from this, because they have the different book.
They don't have a Bible. The Bible, the thing they follow is written by, mostly by Ernest Holmes.
But they believe in Jesus.
Well, they believe Jesus existed and was an example of what you could accomplish if you had 100% belief, is what they actually believe.
It's kind of Buddhist in that.
Yeah.
I think it's great that the only church that could actually cure you of being gay is fine with you being gay. We have the power. You don't need it.
You're good the way you are.
Awesome. Yeah, that's no accident.
I feel like I should confess. I went to church Christmas
You're gay?
Eve. Yes.
What happened when you went to church? Why'd you go to church?
I was with my girlfriend.
I think I should confess. He's on the art of atheist.
Wait, first time in church in years and suddenly confession.
Come clean, brother.
No, and I was with my girlfriend's family at Christmas, and they're very religious.
Great Drake!
Yes. Her brother is a minister, has a little church up in Milliken, Colorado. We went up there, saw the show. Lots of fun. Kids sing and dance. It's great.
Cool.
Yeah, I just I don't get angry with it. I'm just like, all right, it's another show.
Yeah.
Well,
I got a surprise with a Christmas tree from my girlfriend's Jewish and her best friend's Jewish, and they put up a Christmas tree for me and the other girl's boyfriend because he wasn't able to go home for family stuff. And I'm not,
that's nice.
Again, I don't celebrate Christmas per se, but miss it because it was like, that was my only family stuff that wasn't a fucking train wreck most of the time.
Well, people assume that I don't do anything at all, but I do. I mean, if I'm dating someone who wants to go home and be with their family for the holidays, I will go home and be with their family with them. Lainey and I always flew home when I was dating Lainey. We would always fly home and have a holiday with her family. And I didn't care. I mean, it was fun, eggnog and the stupid tree thing. And I'd buy gifts for them and we would have the exchange. And I enjoy that kind of stuff. I don't mind it. I bought something today for Heather, which I don't have with me, but I'll give her later.
Hey, that's so nice. Oh, give it to me.
Yeah, buying people presents once or twice a year is not a bad idea.
And I give gifts year-round. I pick shit up, trinkets all the time, and give them to people.
I get all sorts of cool little things from Emery.
If I have money, I do that.
Yeah, yeah.
I got punchlines from Emery.
I thought you were going to say punched in the face. I'm like, Emery, secrets.
The gift that keeps on giving.
She asked for it.
But then what happens when you find yourself in the room with the people who either A, actually believe don't believe, but it's okay because we just want something to belong to, or we just, that makes me crazy because they think they're so much more evolved than the people who are religious, and I'm like, no, you're worse.
Because
at least they believe in it. You don't even believe in it, and you're
doing it. Let me tell you, one of the things that people confuse is passion with anger.
That's why this is called ardent atheist.
Now, I think that sometimes you guys like you and me get angry. I mean, I know that you get angry. I get angry sometimes. And usually what makes me angry is when someone says that my passion is anger. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That can turn me into someone who seems to be pretty angry at them at that point.
Right.
Very passionate.
Yeah, then I'm very passionate. But don't let people put you in that anger box until you actually belong there, is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
So when you find yourself interfacing with people and they're like, you're so angry about things. No, I'm passionate. I think that what you're doing is harmful. Yeah. And I'm not angry at you for falling for this bullshit. And do me a favor, don't call me angry just because I'm sharing ideas with you. It's passion. It's
and
not
they
anger.
Agreed with me. This was some friends last week. They agreed with me when all was said and done. They were like, yeah, that's true. And but then afterwards, one of my friends, she's like, you sound really angry. And I was like, well, but now
everybody
I wish I could go back and I could say, no, I'm passionate.
Everybody seems angry when you're not agreeing with what they're saying.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. That's brilliant. A mantra. That's the last bastion in an argument that can't be won. The guy who doesn't have an argument will always try to then personally turn you into this thing that makes you negative, that makes you a bad person for even doing this.
Well, the problem is that people believe their opinions are them. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I get into arguments about, we did it a tiny bit about dubstep, but music that I really don't like.
Yeah.
And my opinion about dubstep doesn't mean that because you like dubstep
I
think you're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
Right.
I just don't like dubstep.
Yeah.
But my girlfriend and a few of these other people that I have had conversations with about music, they're like, you're so mean about music. It's like, no.
Mean about music.
I'm saying, but to them,
passionate.
That's who they are, and like, you know, the things that they do are who they are. It'd almost be like if people, and it's a ridiculous example, but it's a semi. It's if people were like came up to us and were like, "Yeah, comedy's so dumb. Making people laugh is bullshit."
Right?
We'd be like, "What?"
Online, when I'm arguing or debating or just trying to have a conversation with someone about religion and my beliefs, if they can't think of something to say, they'll usually make fun of me or call me names of some sort.
Yeah. You look like a boy.
They'll just make fun of my hair or anything, you know, and they totally, you can't, when they start saying you're angry and they don't have anything better to say than that, then you're done. You can't. Yeah.
You also just won,
by the
way.
You have just won.
Because you put enough fear into their brain about, oh my God, I might be wrong about this belief system.
Yeah.
And then they go, you're an asshole.
Yeah.
I don't like your hair.
Why are you such a jerk?
Yeah.
Fight or flight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're listening to Ardent Atheist. Available on the iTunes store, also at ardentatheist.com. And now, a special announcement.
This is a big super shout out to a few of our listeners. Apocalyptic Aang, Fate Will Eat You, Kyle Delaney, it will. Loving Learning 64, that's
Hi, Mom.
Justin Harnish, Philip May, Benjamin Bodenheim, Mike Porgel, Herbert Reagan, Jennifer Jones, Sir Luke 5641, Joe Swam, and Cameron Winters. These were the people chatting on the Wall of Reason last week. Keep posting. We love seeing all your delicious content.
And now, back to Ardent Atheist Nonsense You Can Believe, and we're talking with Ron Swallow, Dana Eagle, and Steve Gelder. Again, thanks for being here, guys. I called everybody at the last minute on this one because of the holidays. But and I've been wanting to get you on the show forever, Dana.
It's funny. Yeah. We couldn't get anybody for Halloween, but we could get people for Christmas.
Yeah, Christmas is stupid.
Awesome. That's because Halloween is fun.
Yeah, I know.
You get candy.
That's exactly right.
You get to dress up and act like a jackass. It's fun.
Yeah. This is also really good timing for holidays, like right in the midweek. How awesome is that?
Yeah, it is. Today, Amanda was saying it feels like Sunday. It's not.
Yes,
what is today? Today's Wednesday.
Wednesday. Yeah.
So weird.
Yeah, that middle of the week or beginning of the week because it was yesterday. So then it was Christmas Eve, Monday night. And then it's like, who's going to do anything for the rest of the week? Nobody. Yeah.
It's all confusing because we're all dead.
Yeah.
The world
ended on the 21st.
It did.
Oh, right.
We're all zombies now?
Right now we're Matrix.
Yes. Are we in the Matrix?
We're the Matrix, I think.
Who was it that told me?
Well, I can do anything I want.
What's that guy's name that was going to jump off
his
the...
His name is...
Yeah,
is.
Tell me about that.
This guy's awesome and stupid and awful. It's a guy, I think he's a UFO freak, first of all. And he's a guy who believes that we are really in a program of sorts, like a Matrix type thing.
Awesome.
And he thinks that a Matrix was going to open
a portal.
A portal, a vortex is what he called
it. Yes.
On 12/21/2012.
At exactly 11/11.
Right.
Okay.
And he was going to jump into it.
Yeah, his name is Peter Gersten. He was a lawyer.
He
was going to jump. Well, I don't know if he still is or not. He's getting up there, but he was going to jump from the top of Bell Rock in Sedona, and he invited people to come and watch him. And he had a whole blog and a website that said, "I'm inviting you to see my leap. Come see my leap of faith."
He was calling a leap of faith, by the way. Which so I find
how high is this rock? How
he would die if he jumped off.
Yeah,
this
he would
rock.
Definitely
okay.
die.
It's like a cliff.
Yes. Okay, you okay. have to climb up. And so you know, the news were allowed to come, welcome to come. Anyone who wanted to come watch him do this. And so he changed his tune towards the end, basically. Well, because people were concerned.
Well, the cops
were
showing up.
Yeah, the cops were concerned.
The cops are like, "What are you going to do?"
So he decided to say. He said that I will jump only if the portal opens.
Which I think stopped the cops from going, "Get off the rock, loony."
Yeah, yeah. So
get down. You're going to hurt yourself.
I haven't seen anything in the news that says what exactly happened, but maybe Joseph Swam will find something.
Yeah. I, when we read it, it was like, oh, that's nice. You know? If you're that stupid, please.
Yes. I wanted to
find
go.
Find a cliff and walk off it if you're that fucking
gone.
Nutty. But yeah, we couldn't go down.
How
there.
Sucky that this wonderful vortex is going to appear and it's in midair.
Yeah,
right, right. You know, it can't just be.
I love how confident
on the
he is.
Yeah,
though.
He could
right.
just walk
because you have to be pretty
City
confident
Hall.
That you're like it's going to be by a cliff. It couldn't be by like I don't know a fire hydrant.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Yeah. Or why couldn't it be? I think he was picturing it above him. Right?
So oh, that it would suck him up.
Yeah, he was going to jump upward into it.
Like a
I
bank
I don't know
tube.
If that's what he was thinking.
I don't know. Or maybe
like quantum leap
open.
Style, sort
and
of.
And I don't know how he picked that spot because he was never clear. I mean, everything that he talked about, like all of these doomsday folks,
weren't
is
clear?
Just all this. Never. Nobody's clear. My cousin, it was out of her mind a year or two ago telling me that it was really a funny story because I said to Leslie, I go, okay, wait a minute. This was a few years ago, maybe a year or two, and we were on the phone and I go, you're not, you don't buy into this Mayan 2012 end of world shit. And she goes, oh, fuck no, Emery. That's stupid. The world's not going to end.
So there's an update.
And the world's not going to end. She goes, but there is going to be a consciousness shift. I mean, that's going to happen. Like, oh, Leslie, no. What's the update, honey?
The update is that at 9:30 p.m., they just heard from Peter and he's still on top of the rock with a few friends until 11:11 p.m., and then update number two, Peter came down at midnight and said, I didn't win. I say he didn't lose.
Yeah, you didn't lose. Yeah. You still have a life, jagoff. That's the thing that bugs me the most about this stuff. Go ahead, Dana.
Maybe it's like John Malkovich and it's in the file room, like being John Malkovich.
Yes, yes. You got to crawl through a tiny door.
You have to crawl through a tiny door and then you end up on the side of the New Jersey Parkway.
Here's a question. Let's say you went to like lunch with this dude. Like just randomly,
which I would
with
do a group in a heartbeat of friends, if I could have a chance.
Like with a group of friends, yeah. and you just had a regular conversation, nothing to do with UFOs, nothing to do with religion yeah. or consciousness shifts or anything like that. Would they be normal?
Would who be
no?
Normal?
Do you know what I mean? Because here's
no.
the thing:
if you didn't know about the vortex,
if you didn't
thought.
Know about the crazy shit they were saying, because my grandparents and some of the other people that I dislike because of their insane religious beliefs, yeah. if you. Sat and had dinner with him, and none of that stuff was brought up. My grandpa's funny. He's charming.
Sure.
My grandma's just kind of quiet, yeah. which I would assume it's because she's been oppressing being a lesbian.
Yeah, yeah.
How many people
pussy.
Have these deep secrets that you don't
even
know about?
If I gave up pussy, I would be silent.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying is like...
Be a monk.
You wouldn't know. My mom believes that human beings were spliced from the Anunnaki, which is an alien race from the 12th planet that came down to mine gold, and they took Bigfoot... which was basically cavemen, spliced them with themselves and created human beings so that they could get gold to put into their plant. This is like a really – and if you sat down with
Christ.
My – if you sat down with my mom, you would have no idea she believed that stuff.
Yeah, right.
You just had some food with her. You'd just be like, oh, well, she's like a regular person.
Until someone has to be walked home through a crappy neighborhood, you don't find out.
Well, they feel about that way about us atheists as well. So,
yeah.
you know – Oh, she was such a nice girl, but then I found
then
out
I found
she was
out
an atheist.
Yeah.
Baby
That's
eater.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Baby eater.
Yeah, you're right. That I think it would be fine sitting with that guy, just having breakfast, unless he said, you
as
know.
As soon as he said, hey,
yeah,
I believe in a
vortex.
Vortex
is going to open up and everything's going to go haywire.
And you go,
please.
you start laughing like, that's hilarious, dude. He's like.
Well, yeah. Actually, no. If that happened, I would be accused of being like Dana Eagle. At some point, he'd go, why are you so angry about my vortex idea? I'm not angry, man. I'm not angry.
Passionate.
I'm fucking passionate.
Yeah.
Don't jump off a rock, you moron.
Yeah.
Well,
so
he
did. Is that anger? I don't know. It might be anger. I don't know if it's anger.
Right. But
well, if you call him a moron.
Which is disappointing. It's disappointing that that guy didn't jump off a rock.
It is.
Because you know what that means? That means we have another year, two, three, or four of him talking to the news about where the vortex is going to happen when he does some new calculations.
Yeah, if that guy dies, just like Bill Hicks has said, we're not missing a cancer cure.
No, no, we're not.
Yeah, no. He's not doing anything for us.
I don't know. The whole idea, the whole Mayan thing, and we've been over it on the show. I'm not going to rehash it too much. I am going to say that if you're so fucking deluded and ignorant and so desperate to find magic, because that's what this is, in my opinion.
Right.
It's a desperate hunt for magic. If you're so fucking desperate and deluded, you need to stop. You need to walk in the bathroom, look in the mirror, wash your fucking face off, and figure out what's wrong with you if you're falling for this bullshit. And I mean this. I mean it to the people I care about and love.
Yeah.
You are fucking up. You're wasting your life if you're looking at something the Mayans didn't say, and you're basing the idea that the world needs to end at all. If you think the world needs to end, you have something wrong with you. If you think the world is gonna end and you're not freaking the fuck out, there's something wrong with you.
What yeah. if you hope it's gonna end?
And that's the problem with religion.
Really long
religion
day.
Wants the world to end because that
right.
means God completed the fucking circle that
yeah.
they're buying into. Am yeah. I angry? Fuck yeah, I'm angry.
Yeah.
So He's yeah, it's
passionate.
It's anger and passion, I guess, sometimes.
It's a little combo of the both.
Where do you stand on ghosts?
Ghosts are stupid, man. Yes. You know who believes in ghosts?
That's exactly. I mean, it's this. I feel like it's this big thing now. I find myself
oh, yeah.
with people talking about, yeah, and the ghost of my mother, and I'm just like,
you fucking
I
retard.
Just don't know what to say.
It's hard.
Desperate.
I've actually
That's
had
what it is. They're
I don't
desperate.
Know what to say.
I've had right. grown women. This has all been women, by the way. I'm sorry about this, but it's
yeah, what the
totally
hell?
True.
Uh-huh.
maybe because I just haven't met the right dude to believe in vortexes. It's probably what it is.
Yeah, here's why sexism is bad, buddy.
Yeah. Well, and let me be clear. This isn't all women by
right,
any
right,
stretch
right.
of the imagination. But it is. But the people who have said this to me have been women.
Right.
And four different occasions, I've heard a variation of I've seen ghosts.
Yep.
I see dead people. Which well, first she said. I'm an intuitive, which means I see dead people. I'm like, no, that's not what intuitive means. And then another person
if
told me.
If she were, she'd know that.
Exactly. Yes. And another person told me they were that they were psychic and
oh,
that
God.
They had premonitions. And I was just like, you're an adult. You can't say that shit anymore.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm just, it's flabbergasting that anybody could think that was real. Like, how could you be like, yeah, I'm psychic. And by the way, and I think this is what it is. There's not a group of dudes who have hung out together and had one dude be like, yeah, I'm psychic, where a group of dudes would have been like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
Just
yeah.
tell your psychic friends to go win the lottery and then you'll believe them.
Yeah.
Well, every time
oh, well, and I was like, she also complained about her boyfriend, last like seven boyfriends. Like, well, if you're so psychic, how come you didn't know that every boyfriend is going to be treating you like
you
shit?
You don't understand no. how psychic works, man.
That's you can't use it on yourself. You can't use yeah, it on yeah. yourself, yeah. man. Yeah. That'd be cheating the
work.
System.
Yeah. Fuck
Ugh.
Off.
Like one yeah. time I thought my grandma was going to die and then my grandma died. So that's your premonitions. Some people might die.
Yeah. An old woman on life support
passed
away.
I'm starting to believe
away.
That the ghost thing might be due to some sort of mental angst or anguish that came to them at some point that
created
traumatic because a friend of ours
a delusion.
Lost someone very special to him and he still thinks that he hears that voice. He still thinks that she appears to
do
him.
Do I know who this is?
Yes, you do.
We're not going to name this person?
No, we're not going to name this
Maybe
person
we'll name
right
this
now.
Person later on.
But I've heard the voices and I've sensed things there like after a relative died, but I knew it was me. Yeah.
I went
what
hunting
I mean?
For it. That's exactly
and
right. That's,
the thing.
That's because
like,
you're a critical thinker.
I'm like, what are the chances? And I'm
right.
like, the chances are that's where I am in life.
Well,
you know,
we're going to talk more about that right after this because that is it for the free hour. We'll be making the full 90 minutes available to our premium subscribers. later tonight. I want to thank our guests Ron Swallow, Dana Eagle, and Steve Gelder. I also want to thank my co-host Heather Henderson.
Hi.
Tune in next week when our guests will be
other people.
And we'll be talking about,
if I knew that, I'd be God.
That's right, you would. This has been the free version of episode 96. Another show that went off without a hitch.
We miss you, Hitch.
If you'd like to hear the full 90-minute show, please go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe for a measly $10 per year. I'm your host, Emery Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson. Our theme music, courtesy of the sound editor of The Aristocrats, Eric Wilson. And special thanks to our Wall of Reason moderator, Joseph of the Flies, Swam, and our digital publicist and webmaster, Cameron Mad Max Winters.
Some characters mentioned on this podcast are completely fictitious. Any resemblance to real persons living or dead is purely wishful thinking. You've been listening to Ardent Atheist. Ardent Atheist is a product of natural selection. Did you guys want to plug anything before we wrap up?
I'd like to go ahead and plug my CD.
Yes.
By saying, I didn't get to say this on the show, I was raised Jewish. When I was a kid, I went to a camp for Jewish kids with ADD. They called it concentration camp.
Where can they find it? It's right on my
website, and it's also on iTunes, Dana Eagle. So either one, if they plug it into iTunes or if they go to my website, they can get it.
All right. Anything else?
Yeah. Angry Dorks every Monday live at SkidRowStudios.com or on iTunes. And January 6th, Eddie Pepitone is headlining a show that I put together.
I love Eddie Pepitone.
Independent Thinking with Steve Gelder daily on New Distant Radio, iTunes, and Stitcher.com.
Thanks, guys.
Good stuff.
Thank you.